Okay, Parshas Korach. Rabbi Abchai begins with the pasuk in Mishlei Perek Yud Aleph pasuk Chav Zayin and Chav Ches. It says, "Shocher Tov Yivakesh Ratzon V'Dorish Ra'a Tivoenu." Someone who searches out for good is looking for Ratzon, and someone looks for bad, it'll come to him. Pateach Basho, who he pulls, someone who trusts in their riches will fall. Okay, V'Che Allah Tzadikim Yifrachu, and Tzadikim will blossom like foliage. Okay, what does this all mean? So Rabbi Abchai says it means the following. That he says shocher means someone who davens. Shocher tov, someone who davens for good for others, is yevakish raton, is looking for raton Hashem. That means to say that Hashem wants us to daven for other people. That's what Rabbi Abchai says. Mishu dorish tovas chaveru mispalav hinehu mevakish raton Hashem yisala. Say a person who davens for their friend, if you see your friend needs something, you need to daven for them. You're doing Ratan Hashem. Hashem wants us to daven. It's always good to remember that we are Banim Lamakom. We're Hashem's children. And you want good for your children. So you want people to daven for your children. Hashem wants us to daven for other Jews. And everyone's aware of the famous Chazal that if you daven for someone else and you need that thing, you'll get that thing first. But what if I don't need that thing? It doesn't matter. The idea is you're supposed to daven for other people. And if you do, good will come to you. And he says the opposite. Someone who is Doresh Ra'a, someone who wishes bad on others, it'll come to them. In other words, if you put an effort to try to ruin people or even daven for bad things to happen to them, it may come to that person as well. So always daven and hope for good for your friend. Daven for your friend. That's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to daven for our friend. And that will be good for us. And if someone does the opposite, it will come back at them. And he says, especially if you're a leader of the generation, like he says, the Gadol Hador, but I imagine even the Gadol of your city or whatever it is, then that person has an extra special obligation to daven for the people of his generation or his, I imagine, his city, but certainly the Rebbeinu Bechai says his generation. And that is famous, the story by the Kohen Gadol, that if someone kills by accident, so then they go to Eri Miklat, and when the Kohen Gadol dies, they go free. So obviously they're going to be davening all day that the Kohen Gadol should die. And the Kohen Gadol gets that because he should have been davening that the people in his generation should be holy. Got that? That's the Rebbeinu Bechai says, that the people in his generation should be holy, that this sort of sin would not come to happen to them. That's what he's supposed to be davening, that they are zakoin. This such of error should not happen on his watch. And because he did not daven for his generation, he gets punished like that. Now, someone who does look for evil to happen to their friend, so Rabbeinu Bechai says, usually, often, that's because of, that's when they're rich. He says, when someone is wealthy, so then they become a little bit more of a Baal Gaiva, they trust in their wealth, and then they go out to hurt others, to take nekama on others, because they feel confident. And therefore, the next pasuk says, "Boteach ba'ashro hu yipol." Someone who trusts in their osher will fall. Again, it's all meaning the connection. You mean the person looks for bad, for the other, it'll come on them, and the opposite for tzaddikim. But the medrash he brings on this pasuk says that "Boteach ba'ashro hu yipol" specifically refers to Korach. Korach relied on his bitachon and his riches, and because of that, he fell. Obviously, that is the segue into this week's parsha, why he brings this pasuk in Mishlei. But on this idea of why Korach sinned, why he started this whole machlokas with Moshe, so he says that it was partly kina, jealousy. So he explains that someone who has become jealous, he sees someone else has something, and he wants it, or she wants it. So, once they're jealous, they're going to try to get rich to get that thing the other person has. And when they get rich, so then once they've reached the level of riches, they'll want covered. You know, if they were the sort of person that was jealous, so they'll try very hard to get the money. And if they get the money, then they'll want the covered. And after they get the covered, they'll want to be in charge, and they'll want to be governing, and in a leadership role. That's the nature, he says, of people who are jealous, who have kinna, which would explain a great many people in politics in general. Not everybody, obviously, but many people, or some. Anyway, he says that's the way it is with kinna. And if that person is that sort of person and doesn't succeed, then that person's life is all miserable. And in the end, the person will want to kill themselves or others. Now, as if they're all consumed by this, they're jealous of their friends, and they spend all their day trying to get on top. And if they do get on top, then they need the coven. And then if they get the coven, they want to be in charge. All these things, if any of them doesn't work out, they're so consumed and miserable that they'll want to kill themselves or kill someone else. And that's what we say, Kina taiva coven mutsinas adam mina olam. That the famous Mishnah, that kina, jealousy, taiva, desire, coven, and honor, those take a person out of this world. Which person? Who do they take out of this world? Well, it says Rabbeinu Bechai, either one. Either it takes them out of this world, or it'll take somebody else out of this world, because they're going to kill them. So all those three can be all-consuming. Kina, taiva, coven, those can be all-consuming, and take a person out of this world, literally, that they want to kill themselves, or be so miserable, or kill someone else. And that's what happened in the story of Korach, that he started that fight. And he says that's also, this is fascinating, the Pasuk in Koheles that we're all familiar with. It says, V'ra'isi anias kal amel v'eskel kishron ha'maisa ki hi kinas ishmer eu gam zehevel l'rus ruach. Shlomo HaMelech tells us, I saw all the amel and all the kishron ha'maisa. I'm going to translate that in a second. And it's kinas ishmer eu, it's kina, and that's hevel l'rus ruach. This is an amazing Rabbeinu Bechai. So he says, I saw the amel. Amel means all the work, like it sounds like. All the work means people go to job, 9-to-5 jobs, people working to make money. That's, I saw all the amel. And then Kishron HaMaisi, he says, Tshuva and Maisim Tovim. You got that? He's saying that Kishron HaMaisi refers to the holy things, the good things. Tshuva and Maisim Tovim. Both of them sometimes are Kines Ishmerehu. Don't we know it? So many times it's mixed in with someone's running for money, or even sometimes in Ruchnius, There's a good kind of kinnas ofrim where you aspire to what other people have reached in Ruchnius. But there's the other type where you're jealous that they got the covet and you're, that kind of thing. So sometimes even with Tshuva, Mais, and Tovim, there's an aspect of a bad kind of jealousy, and certainly in running for money. So he says that Kamze Hevel. You ready for this? That's Hevel, like Hevel and Cain and Hevel, Gamza Hevel, because that's what happened with Hevel, right? Hevel saw Cain bring this carbon, and then Hevel, he said, got jealous. You got that? Hevel got jealous of Cain. Hevel got jealous of Cain, and then I guess he got jealous back. So anyway, Hevel gets jealous, so he brings a carbon to Hashem that is accepted. And then Cain gets jealous back at him, and they get in this whole fight, and someone ends up being killed. So that's again, Kina is Motzi Asadam in Olam. And he says that Kina is the destruction of the world. Okay, anyway, that's his explanation of Korach and the Kina that led to this machlokas. So the beginning of the parasha starts Vikach Korach, Ben Yitzhar Ben Kos Ben Levi. And Rashi already asked, what exactly did he take? So Rabbeinu Bechai says he took his talis. What talis? That talis. But the Rashi brings the story that Korach went to his wife and told her the story, the halacha that Moshe taught them, that you need a string of tchelis on your tzitzis. So she said to him, Kamahu misachik bachem. We've heard this line, right? So he said, oh, he's laughing at you. He's making fun. Look, he's playing games with you. I'll make you a talis that's all blue and see what he says. And Korach got all the Rashi Sanhedrin together, and he of Reuven, and he went to Moshe, and he said, Moshe, if you have a talis that's all tchelis, is it chayv and tchelis? And of course Moshe said yes, and he's a string of tchelis on the tzitzis. And they laughed at him, ha, ha, look, if you have a whole talis of tchelis in its putter, certainly if you have you don't need one strand of tchelis. Rabbeinu Bechai says there's a symbolism there in what they were trying to hint something to Moshe, which I guess is pretty obvious. It wasn't just kind of stum making fun of him or the Torah. What they were trying to say is this blue string is considered the chashuv one. So in other words, Moshe said that there needed to be one blue string, like a leader, something that stands out. And Korach was trying to say, well, what if we all stand out? What if we're all amazing? Because we're all Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael is all amazing. We all got the Torah at our Sinai. So what do you have if you have a talis, it's kulot chelis. And then we shouldn't need another string. He's trying to say that that's his argument with Moshe's leadership. So then we have Moshe's reactions. Moshe, that he was nafal al panav. Says, Vayishma Moshe v'yipal al panav. So Rabbeinu Bechai points out, says, doesn't say Aaron also fell out down, only Moshe fell down because the attack was mainly on Aaron, that he, and so Aaron out of Anivas didn't do anything. But Moshe was nafal al panav. So here, Rabbeinu Chayin in this parsha in general has a long speech about Tachnun, because that's what Moshe did. He says, Vayipal apanav, that's like we do Tachnun. And so the Rabbeinu Bechai goes into a lot of some explanation for how we do Tachnun and what Tachnun means. So when Moshe fell down, so the Gemara tells us some pretty amazing things about Tachnun, which Rabbeinu Bechai quotes. One of them is a famous Gemara in Bav Metzia and Tachnun Tesamet Beis, where Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus was put in Cherem, and his wife tried to stop him from saying Tachnun, because she would end up killing the person who put him in Cherem, which was Rabbi Gamliel, well, whatever, one of them. Anyway, and so one day she messed, and he did say Tachnun, and he died. So that the Gemara tells us the power of Tachnun. So what's so powerful about Tachnun? So he says, when we fall on our face, there's three points to it. So one of them, the first part, is Moreh Shechina. That is, a person's supposed to be davening to Hashem, standing before Hashem. So doing Tachnun is like a show of anivus. Like, Hashem is so great, we cover our eyes. You know, like, lie down and cover your eyes to show, like, it's nias, like, you know, we can. It's midarchi anava. So, since a person's supposed to be davening to Hashem, so when a person does that, the Rabbeinu Bechai calls him itachsise atfila, to cover the person's face, and it's all for it to be in awe of Hashem. And it's, a person should feel that they're doing that out of awe of Hashem. They're standing before Hashem, and they're doing the filas apayim, as if to show, like, we can't even, have to hide our eyes. I think similar to, like, when Rivka met Yitzchak, right, it says she covered herself. It's a type of anivus and snias. Either way, that's why we do that. And he also says that the Chayos HaKodesh have some type of idea like this as well, as the famous idea that they are Ratzo V'Shov. He says he compares it to, based on Psukim, to a Shalheves, a flame goes up down. So too the Chayos HaKodesh go up and then back, you know, just and then keep going forward and back, not to get too close. Anyway, that's the idea when a person, you know, pulls back, in a sense, like out of anivus. Anyway, so that's point number one, why we do Nefilas Apayim. It's a showing that we realize we're standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam when we, at Derech Tznius and Anava, or hide ourselves. Second is to Laharos Tzar V'Hachna, to show pain and subjugation. He says, in other words, right, to fall down, like we feel bad about it. We know our avos are so terrible. So it's a hachna, subjugation, putting yourself low. And he says, hachna is mi ikre hachuva. And therefore, your a person's tefillah is much more mikubeles when they are in a state of hachna and feel tshuva and feel and recognize their avos and, like, fall down, you know, like we're doing the tefillah of time because of our avos. So when a person's in a state of hachna, their tefillahs are more likely to be accepted. As the Gemara says, he brings in Tainus, it's a Cholsha Daite Ve'Elsa Mitra. You know, so when a person, when a tzaddik feels bad, so then Hashem listens to their tefillos. So that's the second thing, to show Hachna, Tzara and Hachna, because of our Averis, or whatever, it's feeling tshuva at that time, and Hachna, therefore Hashem listens to our tefillos. And the third thing is, and this is the most fascinating of them all, that is to show that, like, we have no action of our own. We're like totally covering our eyes and our hands and nothing. In other words, as if to say, we have no chushim, we have no hergeshim, everything is batal to Hashem. Everything we only do, or we have none of our own action or anything, we're all whatever Hashem wants. And he says that's the same idea, or a similar idea to why we stand in Shemona Esrei with our feet together. Same idea, to show, like, we don't go anywhere, we're not doing anything, without Ratzon Hashem. Perhaps, I don't think he spoke this out, but perhaps that is the idea, because we all know somebody, if you ask somebody on the street, how come during Shemona Esrei we hold our feet together? We're supposed to be doma to the Malachim. Well, maybe that's the way we're doma to the Malachim. In other words, the Malachim everything they do is Ratzon Hashem, for real. And we're being doma to that in saying that we have nothing, we can't move our own, we have no action outside of Ratzon Hashem. Everything is for, we want is for Hashem. And he says, this is also fascinating, he says, you know, Goyim, the Nachrim, they daven also with their hands together, right? He says they don't know why they're doing that. But Rabbeinu Bachai says, I know why they're doing it. They don't understand why they're doing it. They're doing it for this reason. It's supposed to be showing that idea that they have no actions without Ratzon Hashem, but they don't know it. They just got it as some Masorah from whoever taught it to them. But that's the reason. But we don't put our hands together. We put our feet together because, he says, it's more gadol, the showing lack of action when you put your feet together than when you put your hands together. So that's why we put our feet together. That's a big one. Anyway, that's Rabbeinu Bachai. Okay, so then they have this machlokes, and Moshe tries to make peace with them, and they say, they start complaining to Moshe, and they say, you took us out of Hamat Ki Lesanu Mimitzrayim Kisis Tarel and Kamis Tarer, and Ha'ene Ha'Nashim Ahim Tanakir. So, are you going to blind these people's eyes? What does that mean? Are you going to blind these people's eyes? So Rashi says it means, even if you ask us, even if you blind your eyes, we're not coming. But Rabbeinu Bachai brings a Yesh Misha Pirish. Again, I don't know if it's always, whenever Rabbeinu Bachai brings a Yesh Pirish, it always seems to me like being a fascinating idea. He doesn't quote this whoever, Mr. I don't know if it's always the same person. The Yesh Shapirish. Anyway, this Yesh Shapirish says that what they were telling Moshe, remember, they didn't believe in Moshe's leadership. They were saying, you're making stuff up, you're putting in charge, you know, whoever, your family, and you don't care about the rest of us. And so Ha'ene Hashem Ha'im Tanakir was saying, it's referring to like us, you know, like the people who left Mitzrayim. You're going to blind their eyes. What they meant to say is, what you're doing is transparent. You're obviously appointing all your family and friends and buddies, and not based on what Hashem says. So Ha'ene Hashem Ha'im Tanakir is like saying, what do you think, we're blind? We see what you're doing. You're going to blind these people's eyes? Meaning that's what they meant to say, that we can tell what you're doing. It's obvious that you're not getting it from Hashem. That's what they said. So the Pasuk also says, Vayakel Alehem Korach. Korach got everybody against Moshe. So Ben Bechai says, I get the Bechoros. The Bechoros were upset about losing their job as the Kohanim. Sheva Levi was unhappy about being subservient to Aaron. But what do the rest of Jewish people care about this business? So he says, Chazal Tarshin, that Korach was saying, but Ru Ma'asa Lechem Ben Amram, look what Moshe did. Reuven Bechor Yisrael Hu Victim Nachshon Ben Aminadav L'Shar Shvatim. Reuven should have been the Bechor, and yet Nachshon Ben Aminadav was put ahead of the other Shvatim in the Chanukah Samizbeach. And because of that, everybody joined the battle. I couldn't find the Medrash that says that thing. There is a Medrash like that about Nachshon Ben Aminadav. I'm guessing what he means is Nachshon was related to Aaron, right? It was Aaron's wife's brother. So maybe that's what he meant. But either way, he managed to convince everybody to join or not everybody, convinced many to join. Obviously, again, mostly it was the Bechoros and some people from Sheva Levi and Reuven. So, Rabbeinu Bachai here asks a very important question. By the way, before I get to that, Rabbeinu Bachai says a very big yesod here. Why were the Bechoros Nifsal? So, we all know, because at Chet Egel, right, that's why Levi, the Bechoros were supposed to do the Avoda. Something happened at the Egel, and therefore the Levium took the place of the Bechoros. What happened at Chet Egel? So I always thought what happened to Chet Egel is that Bnei Yisrael as a whole did Chet Egel, and Shevet Levi, none of them did Chet Egel. And that was it. Rabbeinu Bachai adds a little knesh that I didn't know. He says, because they brought Karbanos over there. And who brought the Karbanos? The Bechoros. In other words, the Bechoros of Bnei Yisrael, he says, brought Karbanos to the Egel at Chet Egel. So because they were the priests, the ones that they that were offering the karbanos to the avodah zarah, that's why they became nifsal for bringing karbanos to Hashem, and the Levim, who did not do that, they took over as the ones who are ready to bring karbanos to Hashem, which makes just makes the whole thing a lot more clear. But he brings that, and other I saw another Rishon who said that as well. Okay. Again, so the Rebbeinu B'chai asks a very important question here. Why is it, he says, that Moshe doesn't daven for Adas Korach? In fact, he davens the opposite, that Hashem shouldn't listen to their tefillos. Usually, Moshe davened for everybody when they did Averos. And also, he asks, we know Rashi asks a similar question from the Medrash, but why is it that the kids died? Right, it wasn't just Korach died. Korach and his family and kids, all these people's kids died. So he says, you know, since why did the kids die? So Rashi says, brings that match, right? Kama Korach machlokes, that normally based in Shamat only kills at 13, based in Shamala at 20, and here even little kids were swallowed up by the earth. Because it says Nesheim ubneim etapam, even little kids were swallowed. But saying Kama gedola Korach machlokes, okay, it doesn't directly answer the question. Well, how was a little two-year-old chayv in this? So, this question obviously is a broader question in general in, unfortunately, Jewish history, which is filled with many innocent people, little children being killed. Why is that? So his answer is local to here, but certainly is the answer to many of those type of questions. So, the first answer, which would only be completely local, obviously is that this was a very big deal what was going on over here, that Korach was coming to deny the whole Torah Mi-Sinai. He was coming to say Moshe was making stuff up, and if Moshe was making stuff up, then we got a problem. Because today he says you made up the Kuna, tomorrow he'll say you made up all kinds of stuff, and they'll end up saying Torah's not Minashamayim. So this is a very serious thing, so maybe that's why things were so serious. But okay, he has another answer, which he thinks is the The important answer, which he says, is Kabbalah. And basically what we know is called a Gilgal. And he says, Rabbeinu B'chai says, that these people, the Adas Korach, were a Gilgal of the Anshei Sodom. And the Anshei Sodom were a Gilgal of the Dor HaFlaga. And they're really all one group, Gilgals of each other. And he says this is hinted to in the Psukim. This is fascinating. It says, Hava, by the Dor HaFlaga, right? It says, Hava nivna lanu ir. Let us make a city. Migdal rosha b'shamayim v'nase lanu shem, will make a shame for us. And then, if you remember by the Anshei Sodom, when they surrounded the house, when Lot took in the malachim and the people from the city surrounded the house, it says, V'anshei ha'ir. Anshei Sodom, Nasabu Alabayas. Well, that's strange. It says the people of the city, Anshei Sodom. Well, that's certainly repetitious, right? It should have said Anshei Sodom. So what's Anshei Ha'ir, Anshei Sodom? So others ask this question there, but this is what he says the remez to. Anshei Ha'ir, the people of the city. Who's the people of the city? He says that's the remez. Obviously, the Rebbeinu B'chai had a Kabbalah that this was true. But once you have that Kabbalah, he's saying it's merumez in the Psukim, that at the Torah HaFlag, it says, Hava Nivla Lanu Ir. So the Anshei Ha'ir, Anshei Sodom, Nasabu Al Abayis. That is to say, that is a remez that the Anshei Sodom were the Anshei Ha'ir. They were people from the Dor HaFlag. It was a Gilgal of their neshama. And then it says, of course, that they were made blind, right? The people, they surrounded the house and they became blind. Okay, then we jump to the story of Korach. It says, Vayakumu Lifnei Moshe. So Rebbeinu B'chai says, why say Lifnei Moshe? It should have said Vayakumu Al Moshe. They came on Moshe. What does it mean, Lifnei Moshe? And he learns it, actually. It sounds like to mean Lifnei, as in before, as in from earlier times. You got that? Vayikumu Lifnei Moshe. They stood before Moshe. It means this is a remez to that these people were a Gilgal from a previous generation. And it says they were called Anshei Shem. What does that mean, Anshei Shem? Hinting back to the Dor HaFlaga, Hava Nivlanu Ir Migdol V'Roshav B'Shemayim V'Naseh Lanu Shem. So these are the Anshei Shem. It's a hint to those people. Also, he brings the Uncle. It says Vayikach V'Is Peleg. Also, a hint to the Dor HaFlaga. And this is the best part. He says, remember, it says the Anshei Sodom, they were made blind. right? Hashem made them blind when they were surrounding the house. So these people who are a Gilgal of those Anshe Sodom, they're coming, Moshe, what are you going to do? Hayayine and Hashem Ahim Tanaka, you make us blind? Where'd that come from? From the past. From when they're Anshe Sodom. So he says that's all a remnant to all these things. Anyway, this is all coming to tell you that they were Gilgal of those people. They were bad people. They were needed to be destroyed. They just came back as a Gilgal. That's why Moshe and Davin for them. And the kids were killed. It was from what they had done in a previous Gilgal. Okay. And then it says that Hashem opened up the earth, right? That says Vimbriya Yivra Hashem, if Hashem creates a new Bria, a new that the earth will open up its mouth. He says, by the way, that Hashem had said in Shmos, Negat Kalam Chaya, Seniflos Hashem lo Nivru. So Moshe was saying, okay, now's the time that a new thing should be built. A new thing should be created, this mouth, or mouth of the earth opened, and it says, so everything went down, men, women, children, and the rechush. Chazal tell us in the Yerushalmi and Sanhedrin that even someone who had borrowed a needle from anybody from that Adas Korach, that needle somehow made its way down to the bottom of the earth. So everything was swallowed up. And it says, V'yardu heim v'chala shalhem chayim sha'ola. They went into sha'ola. So the Rebbeinu B'chai says that there are seven levels to Gehenim. Sha'ol is the bottom. And he brings a little bit of a scary pasuk. It says, Yeshuvu Rishayim L'Sha'ola Kol Goyim Shechechei Elohim. Elohim, I don't know. So Rishayim return to Sha'ol. So he says, how does that mean that they return to Sha'ol? That the Rishayim who are in that level of Gehenim, that's a pretty bad level of Gehenim, and the people there stay there forever. So it sounds like they're different. If you look in the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, right, there's different levels of Rishayim. Some get out of Gehenim, the really bad ones don't. So they stay there, and when their neshama is destroyed, is eaten up, burnt up, it comes back again. It's nischadesh kebetchila, and then it's burnt again. V'chein chozrim chalila ledorei doros. That's his words. V'zehu lashon yeshuvu. That's the lashon yeshuvu Rishayim. They get destroyed, and then we come back to be destroyed again forever. It's a little scary. Take our avodas Hashem a little more seriously. Anyway, just one last thing. When the Magefa starts, it says, Yata HaKetzef Heichel HaNogef. Yata HaKetzef Heichel HaNogef. Rebbeinu B'chai says that there are several Malachi Chabala. One of them is named Ketzef. That's what it means. Yata HaKetzef, the Malach, that's name was Ketzef. So I just want to say my own quick idea based on that, or similar to that. This is me, not Rebbeinu B'chai, but I'm ending with this. Ketzef is a Malach, and in general, Malachim have the names of their jobs. Rafael brings Rafua, right? Anyway, so Ketzef is the Malach Chabalah, fits with the name. Ketzef means anger and whatever. So that fits. The Pasuk in Parsha Shlach, if you recall, said, Ana yina atuni ha'amazeh. I have thought of that always, every time I read that Pasuk. Ad ana yina atuni ha'amazeh. That the Lashon, another Lashon of anger, besides Ketzef, Af, and Chema, which you all say are Malachi Chabalah, he does not list the word Nazi, but that is a word in the Torah for anger. I always thought to me that if you had a Malach and Shemayim, another one that would be one for anger, you would think that that's what would be its name, and that would be Hashem Shliach, and it certainly seemed that was the Shliach for whatever reason Hashem had. Either way, okay, that's my thought, and have a good Shabbos.